Hey, it's Jonas Knox and Brady Quinn here. Outkick the coverage on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up, the Nets are in trouble, and it all falls on the lap of Kevin Durant with Kyrie Irving's injury. We've also got the latest edition of Weekend at Murphy's. It's the Packers saga involving Mark Murphy and Aaron Rodgers. We've got Kyler Murray taking a shot at the Dallas Cowboys and what it means for his future moving on. And then we've got an all-pro in the NFL who lied to you. He lied to you about a Super Bowl contender. All of that coming up next here. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The pride of Dublin, Ohio. He is the man that roamed the hallways of South Bend, Indiana for years and years.
This? Every single week we do this.
All right. He's a slappy. He's Brady Quinn. Is that better?
That's much more like it. That's much more closer to how we normally operate. But
what's up, man? Babe?
Not much. Let me tell you, though, something hit me this weekend. All right. It was Saturday afternoon, and my family and I, we just got home from, we were, you know, celebrating a birthday with some other family and friends, and we were looking around. We're like, oh, God, there is nothing on TV right now. There is no games. All right. We didn't even have the UFC prelims. Basketball wasn't until the night. Hockey hadn't started. All there was PGA Tour golf and some regular season baseball, which there really wasn't any more drama around the spin rate and Spider Tack and who actually owns Spider Tack. Maybe there's a player who's behind it who's now, you know, surged up the actual price of it or not. But the reality is we're getting to that point of the year, buddy. Like, we're going to get to that point where as much as we want to complain about maybe how the NBA is or the NHL is, or whatever else is going on in sports, we are getting to that dreaded time of the year where we don't have much to bet on. Okay,
well, yeah,
that's what we're venturing closer to.
Yeah, very good. Because you didn't take the lazy sports talk radio way out where everybody goes, oh, it's the dead time of the year, man. We could talk. Like, there is no slow time. There's always something to talk about. There's always something to have a good time with. So there is no dead time in sports talk radio. I don't get it. And by the way, as somebody who is an avid fill-in guy here at FSR, let me tell you something. The dead time, quote unquote, for the big shots means more opportunities for me. All right. So I am all good with that. But this is what I would do. And I've thought about this before. If I was a network that had NFL rights, whether it's Fox, ESPN, CBS, the NFL Network, whoever, I'm scheduling as many rerun games from last season that were on my network this time of year and sprinkling them in to counter-program some of the other dead times on television. I swear to God, I think those would do numbers. Like, if you saw, I watched Cowboys-Falcons, that game where they did, like, the Ouija board onside kick. You remember that game?
Right,
I think we were
right
on the air later
that night.
It's
called a watermelon kick, but no big deal.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. It looked like a Ouija board. But, like, they did. I watched that, like, almost the entirety of it not that long ago, and I was enthralled by it. Like, I was like, oh, this is awesome. It's NFL football, and it's great.
It's so funny you say that, because I watched the one where Aaron Rodgers, like, single-handedly, remember the year they went to the NFC Championship game, got beat by Atlanta?
Yes.
I watched that one where, do you remember the throw he made?
Oh, my God. One of the best throws I've ever seen. One of the best.
That might have been one of the greatest drives to end the game ever.
Was it JerMichael Finley? I think it was JerMichael Finley who caught the ball.
Yeah. With the catch in the sideline. I watched that one, and I was thinking to myself, God, dude, he was so good that year and in the playoffs, and he was leading them, and they limped. Do you remember how banged up they were defensively?
Yeah.
They limped into that NFC Championship game and then got steamrolled by Atlanta, but he carried them. And then I was reminded that, oh yeah, Mark Murphy apparently thinks the Packers are better than him. So, yeah.
We will get to another edition of Weekend at Murphy's coming up later on in the hour because he likes to speak a little bit on that old Aaron Rodgers situation. But nonetheless, it is great to be with you here. For those of you out there who are kind of dreading getting back to work and you're having a little bit of the Mondays, man, just hang out with us. All right, we're gonna make it feel better. All right, we're going to make all the pain go away as we play a little bit of some shenanigans and a little bit of grab you know what here on FSR for the next 3 hours. Now, I will say this. We were texting back and forth yesterday, and I'm not trying to out you for anything because that's the last thing I would do. All right, the last thing I want to do is out you for anything. But the Bucks were leading the Nets. It was in the second half.
Oh, no. And you don't get to do this. I did not say this, okay? I was trying to tease you into something, okay? Go ahead and tell them what the text conversation really was, you tell the truth. Tell the truth on live radio right now.
Brady said the game was over and that the Nets were going to win. That's what Brady said. He said that.
That is not even
me.
Close to the truth.
Yeah, I might have gotten that one wrong.
Truth. Okay.
Yeah, I might have gotten
the
it
Bucks,
wrong.
The Bucks were up 12. I remember this so distinctly. I don't even know how much time was left in the game. Go back and check. 10:21 left in the fourth quarter. Kyrie Irving's already out. He got hurt, rolled his ankle. And the Bucks were up 12. And you texted, the Nets are going to win this thing. And I said, oh, really? Yeah, maybe. And then I started watching. I was like, oh, this isn't looking pretty. And then I texted you, you should make that live bet. So now the ball's in your court, buddy. Did you end up making the bet?
Okay, truth be told, I swear to God, I looked up the live line and it wasn't available, which leads me to believe that the odds makers didn't trust what was happening enough to be able to put a line out there. Because every other game that was going on had a live line. I could not find that one.
What are you trying to say? That you were on the side of the odds makers? Like you understood too what they were thinking because you weren't sure how they're going to take the Kyrie Irving injury and whether or not the Nets could come back. Is that what you're trying to say? You should be an odds maker?
I think I would need to talk to actual experts about this, but didn't you get the feeling that going into game four, Brooklyn was going to rebound and right the wrong of game three? Because they had an opportunity to win game three. They were awful. Going into game four, the feeling for me was, oh, yeah, Brooklyn's going to get this. Like Brooklyn, they feel like they're going to get this right and they're going to go in and they're going to, kind of make amends for what happened in game three. A lot of things had to go well for Milwaukee. Middleton was awesome. And I just wonder if the sports books lost themselves so much in this game four matchup, seeing the way the game went and Kyrie going down with the injury, that they didn't even want to bother throwing out a live wager. Now, who knows? I could have just skipped past it. Maybe I got caught up on some croquet matchup in Istanbul. I have no idea. But point being, we all, and I say we all because I don't know if you know this or not, I actually am part of Fox Sports Radio's Bracket Challenge, and I had the Brooklyn Nets going to the NBA Finals. And Brady Quinn, they're in trouble. We got a problem.
They're in big time trouble if James Harden can't come back. And yes. The hamstring's been problematic since April, so that's not good. But to answer your initial question, yeah, like I really did think the Nets, and even watching the first half, as good as the Bucks were shooting from three, I'm watching it and thinking, man, and I forget it was Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. Is that Breen too? Who was on the broadcast?
Yeah, Mike Breen. Yeah.
They would be like so energetic, and they're like, "Oh, the Bucks!" And they're making it seem like the Bucks had a 20-point lead. And I'm like, "They're up by one." Like somehow the Nets continually kept hitting shots, staying in the game, and it seemed like the Bucks had to almost play perfect to even be able to be up by three at half. And it's the best they've shot from three. You said Middleton had a big game. Giannis had a big game. Pat Connaughton, their bench came in big time.
Here we go.
PJ. I'm talking about all the guys.
The Pat Connaughton. Like you got to bring up Pat Connaughton. Here we go with the.
He
Notre
had a
Dame.
Good game. All right, he had a solid game coming off the bench. They needed bench points. They've been missing that. PJ Tucker was more effective too, shooting threes. Obviously, he's been played well defensively. But he shot the three better, too. So they were doing all they could. And at halftime, at home, they're up by three. And I kept thinking to myself, like, gosh, dude, like, is that more just how good the Nets are? Or is that more of a sign of just the Bucks maybe haven't found their rhythm, and you throw together another half like what they did in the first half, they're going to walk away with this thing. I think if Kyrie Irving doesn't get hurt, the Nets win that game.
That ankle injury was nasty, man.
It wasn't Dak Prescott's ankle injury, so it's a rolled ankle. It didn't look like it fell off the face of the planet.
I mean, it looked like it did pop off, though. Like, it looked like it actually came
off.
You'd know
about popping off. You know, that would be something that's right up your alley.
Now, I'm not saying that I came up with this, but there are some people that have pointed out, and I think this is a little bit harsh, but, you know, listen, we talk about the harsh stuff here that many people are afraid to talk about because they think it would be unprofessional. Or I don't want to throw that sort of juju out there. There's been some conversations that that was the same foot that Kyrie Irving used to stomp on the Boston Celtics logo. And that Lucky the Leprechaun. That, yeah. And listen, you know a lot about leprechauns.
That's right.
I mean, that's kind of you.
I used to watch all those scary movies that were about the leprechaun.
Leprechaun. Yeah. Like, first of all, leprechauns aren't intimidating at all.
Well, like, no, by the way, why would you create like a mean leprechaun? You know, why can't we create a feel good movie where you find the pot of gold?
I agree. You know? Like something like a Lucky Charms. Like, I'm all into it.
Like, we can't create a real life Lucky Charms. Instead, we go the other way and try to create a scary movie
out
of leprechauns.
It's like clowns.
What drug was the producer on that idea?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a terrible idea, but people are pointing out that was the same foot that he used to step on the logo of the Boston Celtics.
It's very interesting that you, of all people, would bring that up, because who was the team you grew up rooting for?
Oh gosh, I don't even recall. I would think it was the Vancouver Grizzlies, if I'm not mistaken. Grizzlies.
How can you not?
Big country. Big country.
We go to him every single time. I'll never forget the Final Four. He came from Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah, Oklahoma State.
Do you remember
State.
The Final Four where they kept being like, the two centers amassed to 600 pounds in the middle of the court? Will the court be able to hold these two massive human beings up? I'm like, well.
He shattered the backboard in practice. I remember that. Like, there was the Final Four practice. He shattered the back. Was he teammates with Doug Gottlieb? Like, I want to say no. He couldn't have been.
I don't know.
I think he was before Gottlieb. But I know. Big Country Reeves. That's all we got. I mean, that's not true though either.
Full disclosure: Jonas Knox was a Boston Celtics fan. Okay?
So what?
If he tells you anything otherwise, here is his team's rooting. He rooted for growing up: Boston Celtics, Pittsburgh Penguins, Chicago Bears. You were a front runner. You were a fan of any team that had success through the 80s and 90s.
Hold on a second.
That was you, buddy. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I was too young.
You still hold the 85 Bears near and dear in your heart.
I was too young to even know what the hell was happening. I didn't know what was going on. And by the way, who cares what I did when I was a kid? I also wanted to be a Ghostbuster when I was 6 years old. All right, I kind of gave up on that.
Yeah. How'd that work out?
Yeah. It didn't work out well. You know, I ended up having to do radio with you and being ridiculed and mocked for 3 hours every day.
Not getting Dan Aykroyd to come join you.
You name it. I mean, I built ghost traps. I built it all. Like,
Bob Saget a Ghostbuster?
Bob Saget? No, he was in Full House.
I know that, but he wasn't in Ghostbusters?
No, he was. It was Bill Murray. It was
Dan Aykroyd.
Harold Ramis. And then Ernie Hudson were the Ghostbusters.
I think Ramis was the one I was thinking of. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, who cares?
Even if it is karma, here's what we know. The Nets are screwed.
Yes.
Kevin Durant can't carry this team. There's just a significant drop-off to arguably three of the top, I don't know, five scorers. Is it safe to say that? Like, I don't know that Kyrie Irving gets enough respect for how hard he is to guard. When he's in isolation basketball, we know Kevin Durant's one of the greatest scorers of all time. We know James Harden's one of the greatest scorers of all time. But if you watch that team operate, and if you've watched them all year, what's become really apparent is it's isolation basketball. If it's not Durant scoring, like, there's a pecking order. If it's not Harden or Durant, Irving then steps up. And now you've got Durant all by himself. And I think the Bucks have done, and PJ Tucker in particular, has done a pretty darn good job of defending him. And if he's their only option, he's got nowhere else to go with the basketball. I mean, Josh Harris can maybe pick up a couple threes here and there. they just don't have it, man. And so I think they're in some big time trouble if they can't get Harden back. And the only thing I'll ask you is, you know, as good of a scorer as Kevin Durant is, think about some of the teams that he's been on. I mean, you could have said that they had a big three in OKC, right?
Yes.
Harden, Westbrook, and Harden.
Yeah, 100%.
Or Durant, right, Westbrook, and Harden.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, he ends up going to eventually be a part of a big three, has a lot of success with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
And now he needed to go to Brooklyn. I mean, I'm not saying it knocks him as what he is as a player, and maybe that's just what the NBA is now. But for a lot of people out there who are, you know, making a debate or argument of whatever he is, like, this is that opportunity. Now, I told you before that game started, I kind of emailed you some thoughts and all this, and I said this series is going to go one of two ways. If the Nets win, this thing is over. If the Bucks win, this thing's going to seven now. Like, there's no doubt. And I know that's not a big difference because obviously it's still going to go six at least. But the reality is this is going to be a tight series, a close series, and the Nets are in big-time trouble.
Yeah, and all we ask is that throw a live line up there so we can get some action in. That's it. I mean, this is about the gambling portion of things, and I think that supersedes everything else when it comes to
100%.
The conversation.
100%. I had a buddy who was panicking. He was pacing because I don't know what to do. There's nothing to bet on. There's nothing to bet on. It's Saturday, nothing to bet on. He was so frustrated because he was watching the PGA, and he's like, I don't know if these guys are tour players or if they're like backup quarterbacks for an SEC team. They've all got these like Southern-type names. He's like, I'm not sure what to make of them. They got like a Southern swoop. You know, he's like, I want to bet on these guys. It's only Saturday. You can't really bet on golf on a Saturday.
Yeah. It's listen, we will fix those issues and many other issues here over the next 3 hours.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
So, Brady Quinn, I am petitioning for a brand new segment here on FSR. And just so people know, if this gets stolen by another show, you remember where you heard it first. All right, you heard it here first. But I want to start doing something called Weekend at Murphy's. Now Weekend at Murphy's is a little play on the movie Weekend at Bernie's, one of the great flicks of all time, where a couple of guys walk around with a corpse for an entire weekend. And they try and play it off like he's not dead, even though he's actually dead. Now, for me personally, I would assume that rigor mortis would set in, and he'd be a little bit more difficult to move around. But it is the movies, and you got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of make things work, you know, fit things in places where they probably don't fit. And so, therefore, rigor mortis was not factored into the movie Weekend at Bernie's.
Don't think that maybe some WD-40 wouldn't fix that. You know, maybe they
listen,
figured a way of lubing up the joints there just to be able to move them around.
Am I crazy to say if WD-40 made a cologne, I'd buy it. I think it's one of the most wonderful scents in the world.
That's a first. That's a first. Look, I'm never shocked at all the different things that WD-40 can do. As a cologne, though, I don't know, man.
It smells good, man.
I'm a big cologne guy. That is not something that I would want to put on and wear. And go to my wife, say, hey, babe, I'm here.
It smells good.
She'd be like, go jump in the shower. Like, get your stinky butt out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it smells good. I think WD-40's got an aroma to it that I'm a fan of. But
you used to do whippets as a kid? Is that why that smells good to you?
I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what you're getting at. But something tells me I don't even want to go down the road that you're trying to take me down. Like, I want to do a professional broadcast. That's the whole goal here at Fox Sports Radio. And I don't know why you steer me into these conversations. But point being, Mark Murphy, who's the Packers CEO, this is now two weekends in a row. Now, a week ago, Mark Murphy was the guy who was responding to fan mail because, I mean, come on, he's a CEO. Why wouldn't he respond to fan mail in 2021? Next week, Mark Murphy's going to churn butter on the lawn with people and then drive around a horse and buggy because it's, you know, basically the 30s, according to Mark Murphy. And he is responding to fan mail, and he's talking about Aaron Rodgers dividing the fan base. You know, a little bit strange considering I think Mark Murphy was the same guy who said, you know, neither side should be speaking publicly about this. Neither side, you know, it's best you just to keep quiet so we don't stir up any more drama. And then Mark Murphy was speaking at an event at Lambeau Field. And he had this to say, and the quote goes like this, when the subject of Aaron Rodgers came up. Quote, I'm often reminded, though, of Ted Thompson. As most of you know, just a great general manager passed away this year. Earlier this year. He often talked about Aaron, that he's a, well, and it's not just Aaron. It's a lot of different players. He would say, quote, he's a complicated fella, so I'll just say that, end quote. Of course, that being transcribed by NBC 26 in Green Bay. So now people running with that as he's taking a shot at Aaron Rodgers, kind of, but I think he caught himself in the middle and tried to say, well, not just Aaron, it's other players involved. But here we go again, man. Like, you're trying to make amends. You're trying to make this thing work. Training camp isn't that far away. And you got the Packers CEO making comments. And we were saying a week ago, listen, maybe this is the problem. Like, we keep trying to find what's the issue. Maybe the issue is Mark Murphy, who just can't keep his mouth shut when they're trying to take care of a sensitive situation.
So it was actually an annual shareholders or stockholders meeting, and that's what makes it a little bit unique, in part because at those sorts of meetings, and anyone who owns stock, right, who has a 401k, you know, you probably have the opportunity to vote in some of your shareholders meetings. You might get some emails about it. You might get some mailings about it. I would imagine that about 2% of people out there take the time to look into what's being discussed at that specific corporation and actually try to inform themselves and then go vote as a shareholder of a you know, publicly traded company. And so in this case, you know, you have to understand, if you've ever jumped on any of those calls, what do they discuss? Well, they're going to discuss current events, big topics. This is obviously one of them. So as much as Mark Murphy probably didn't want to discuss this, they're also, you know, it came to a point where you have to address it. You have to, right? Like, this is like basically any other company that's dealing with, you know, COVID, for example, and then not talking to their shareholders when they've got a shareholder meeting about how to handle a pandemic, right? It would look terrible on their part. So, you know, Mark Murphy has to address the issue. The way he went about doing it is the thing to me that just came off as disrespectful. I mean, in part, he doesn't even use his own words. He uses the words of Ted Thompson. Like, he puts it on a guy who can't speak for himself, who passed away this past January, I believe, who, to be quite frank, did a much better job as the general manager, or this organization operated better when he was the general manager. And I think it's in part because of Mark Murphy and the type of footprint he's trying to put on the Packers organization. This guy is trying to put his fingerprints all over what they're doing as a football mind. And I talked to someone who used to be within the organization on Friday, and we talked for a while about just the differences from Ted Thompson to Brian Gutekunst. And, you know, the response was, well, when Ted was there, you know, Mark stayed out of it. It was all, you know, he just stayed to the business affairs of the organization, of the team. But once Ted left, then Mark got a lot more involved with football and trying to weigh in on more football decisions, an area that he really hadn't ventured into, wasn't successful with. That was more Ted. And that's one of the biggest differences that I think you've seen now, and maybe one of the biggest frustrations that even Aaron has. You know, Aaron might actually be good with Matt LaFleur. He might be good with Brian Gutekunst. It's getting to the point now where I think it is a Mark Murphy, Aaron Rodgers, stare down, and I'm not sure who's going to be willing to budge. Because knowing Mark Murphy, and I've only talked to him on a number of occasions, he's about as stubborn as they come. And Aaron Rodgers is probably the most stubborn person you'll ever meet. So when you heard all those comments on, you know, whether it was Kenny Mayne who was interviewing him and he kept talking about people, and you read the reports about him, you know, wanting Gutekunst fired, I don't think that's who he wants fired. I think it's Mark Murphy. I think he wants Mark Murphy to step down. And I'll remind people, remember, Mark Murphy's role is like an acting owner of a team. He's the president CEO on behalf of the board, on behalf of the shareholders. He acts as if it's his team. That's who he's speaking as. So that would be a monumental move if they were to move on or to ask Mark Murphy to step down because of his relationship, because of what's going on right now with Aaron Rodgers.
Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. All right. We are continuing the discussion here in regards to the segment that we have come up with called Weekend at Murphy's, where Mark Murphy makes a comment about Aaron Rodgers in public, and then we get a chance to break it all down on a Monday. He's provided us with content 2 weeks in a row, and we appreciate him for it. Now, he said, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a quote-unquote complicated fella, something that Ted Thompson, formerly of the Green Bay Packers, used to say, former general manager. So he's a complicated fella.
I feel like that's like the way I've got a neighbor who explained his Cocker Spaniel. You know, it's like, I just feel like it's disrespectful just calling someone a fella, like he's Elmer Fudd, all right? And he's looking for Bugs Bunny or something.
By the way, isn't fella an Irish term? Like, isn't that something you say in Ireland? Like, isn't that like, hey, fella?
Sure.
Hey,
fella. There's a lot of Irish terms. I'm not sure that's at the top of the list.
All right. Well, listen, who knows? And furthermore, who cares? All right. So let's just get into that. And by the way, let me be the first here. Happy birthday to your mother-in-law. How about that?
Yeah. Thank you.
That in first.
I love how you just got one in over on me, but thank you for that. Yeah.
All right.
Happy birthday, Gail.
Well, let's come on. We both know this. Our wives, they have something in common. They don't listen to us on the radio. That's why we're able to do the show that we do. So let's just be truthful about it. All right. So here's the thing I always go back to, and I remember seeing it, and I might have brought it up last week, but there was this article that came out. Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report did this, you know, deep dive article on how things fell apart with Mike McCarthy in the final days there. And that was the story where Mike McCarthy was getting a massage and all this stuff. And Tyler Dunn, you know, stood by his sources and said, no. Like, I'm telling you, I know I got a lot of pushback. And one of the things he got the most pushback from Aaron Rodgers on was there was a comment in the article in which Mark Murphy called up Aaron Rodgers after the hiring of Matt LaFleur, in which Aaron Rodgers wasn't consulted on it. They made the decision. He called up Aaron Rodgers and he said, don't be the problem. Well, that made the article. When Aaron Rodgers was asked about it, he denied it, and he was really, really pissed off about it. Like, that's the writer trying to do this, and that's him trying to do that. And then when they asked Mark Murphy about the article, he just said, well, there's a lot of half-truths in there. And I've always wondered, if that conversation did happen, and Aaron Rodgers was bothered that Mark Murphy, or somebody close to Mark Murphy, went to Tyler Dunn and went to the author of the article and let that get to print as maybe sort of a, I'm trying to establish who runs the show here, and maybe the ego is getting involved so much more so now with Mark Murphy than ever before. And I've always wondered if that was the case here, and it feels like there's a lot of that happening. Like, you got a massive ego up top dealing with Aaron Rodgers, and he wants to establish dominance here in Green Bay.
It's a pretty darn good 2-year stretch right now for Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst. And it seems like between those two and Aaron, they're the ones that take all the credit. Mark Murphy's been there since 2007. I don't hear many people refer to Mark Murphy in his role or in his job as one of the best in the NFL. And again, a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're viewed more as an ownership structure that, you know, has shareholders and a board. And it's different than any other, you know, team that's owned by one individual, or at least a majority owner that has a much more public persona. And so that's where I do wonder how much of a part of this is ego, how much of a part of this is wanting to keep things old fashioned and trying to make this like, hey, it's football, man. There's no one player that's greater than anyone else. And look, as much as I want to agree with that, because I do in a lot of ways, you know, As much of an impact as a quarterback plays on the success of a team or not, or I should say giving a team a chance for success, the reality is there's so many different variables that play a part of your fortune or misfortune. You know, whether you have the protection, whether or not you have the ability of people out around you, whether or not you have a defense that can get a stop. I mean, we might be talking about this different right now if the Packers could have just gotten off the field versus the Bucks, but you know, after, you know, a defensive pass interference call, some other plays, obviously, at the end of that first half in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case, right? Kevin King gets beat. You know, Scotty Miller goes in for a touchdown, and it completely changed the energy in that place and the direction of that game. And so the reality is, as important as the quarterback spot is, there's still so many variables that play a part. That being said, it's Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the greatest talents you've ever had. He's a rarity. And I think any Hall of Fame head coach, any good coach, would tell you, as much as you want guys to you know, treat them the same and act like they're the same, there's just certain talents that you can't. And you got to kind of cater to them, because they're a part of that 1% that'll make a big-time difference. I mean, take Patrick Mahomes, for example. Not that he would ever conduct himself in this way, but if he ever did, think about the three-year stretch he's on. You know, obviously, he didn't play in only but one game his rookie year, week 17. But since that point, they were a coin flip away in overtime, in my opinion, to going to their first Super Bowl. You know, they obviously lose the coin flip. The Patriots drive down the field, score. The rest is history. The next year, they go and they win a Super Bowl. Last year, they go losing the Super Bowl. The team's decimated, though. The reality is, it could have very well been to three straight Super Bowls. Like, if Patrick Mahomes started to create a ruckus, I'm sure Andy Reid and the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs organization would figure a way of working it out. And that's the problem here, is it doesn't feel like Mark Murphy wants to work this out. It feels more like Mark Murphy is so hell-bent on holding on to this culture in the Packers organization that no one's bigger than the Packers, that they're going to lose one of the greatest talents they've had. And they're going to find themselves in mediocrity the second he walks out the door.
He's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Fox Sports Radio. It's Outkick, the coverage here on FSR. Coming up next, one of the scariest and more bizarre scenes we've seen in sports in a long, long time. We'll get into that and the shocking statements afterwards. That's next here. Outkick, the coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick, the coverage.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The situation at the Euro Cup over the weekend on Saturday, where Christian Eriksen of Denmark collapsed to the ground, and it's being reported now that he suffered a cardiac arrest, according to the team doctor, and that he was quote-unquote gone before they used a defibrillator to bring him back. He was seen on the field with his shirt up, and they're giving him CPR. Like, I don't recall ever seeing anything like that. And I almost think the broadcasters didn't really know what to do, because you see players, and I was watching it because I was doing some stuff in the morning, and so the game was on. And they were trying to figure out how to manage the situation, and you could see the look on his teammates who were trying to rally, circle around him and cover up so nobody saw anything, but they couldn't cover up everything. And so the camera was there for a while showing this guy getting his chest pumped as they're trying to breathe air into his body. And you come to find out now that in a couple of those scenes that were shown on TV, he was dead, and they had to bring him back and then bring him off the field. He's in stable condition now, but I don't recall Brady ever seeing anything like that in sports. Like from my memory, I don't remember seeing that play out on a big stage like that on television ever.
I can only compare it to the times when you see an NFL player who goes down after a hit. And yeah, he's lying there motionless. I go back to the Ryan Shazier hit. That's one that'll be ingrained in my mind forever.
Oh, 100%.
Because that's every player's worst nightmare. And when you strap on a helmet and shoulder pads, you know that there's a potential of that happening. Not that it's as common as maybe some people would like to think, right? I think when we think about worst case scenario for things, we always think they're actually worse than they actually are. They happen more frequently than they actually do. But this was right up there. This was one of the more almost horrifying, tragic things that I've ever witnessed live. And I feel for his family and everyone else who unfortunately had to be sitting right there with everyone else, completely clueless as to what was going on. And people need to understand, this is one of their better players. He's one of the better Danish players. He's 29 years old, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, and going into cardiac arrest, there's something going on there. So hopefully they can get to the root of the problem or what had taken place. But thank God they had a defibrillator there on the field. Because if not, they're not able to revive him. Like, as much as the CPR helped to a degree, the doctor basically admitted it, without the defibrillator to get his heart going again, it was over. It was a wrap. So it's crazy to think what we could have witnessed there on the field. And a guy who I would imagine is in the top 1%, 2% of people in the world as far as fitness could suffer an episode like this. But just from a broadcast standpoint, I mean, I've never had to be put in that position. But I think the hard thing is how do you go about, you know, trying to handle injuries in a way which is respectful to the player and the family of the individual, but at the same time covering what's happening in real time, which is the entire reason why people tune into sports, is because there's nothing else like it. It's the best reality TV there is.
Yeah.
So it's such a fine line to walk. I don't know that any broadcaster is prepared for it. You could tell at the Memorial Tournament when John Rahm was told that he tested positive for COVID. You know, Nance in the booth obviously didn't really know what was going on, but the way he handled it, you know, you kind of read the facial expressions of everyone else, and he was able to kind of tiptoe or tap dance his way through it, and it didn't sound overly awkward. This was to a whole nother level, though, and I don't know how anyone could handle that given what they were witnessing in real time. I mean, it really almost, we avoided what could have been a tragic event.
It was awful. And look, I don't fault, like, there's, you know, I've seen some, you know, criticism out there for the handling of the broadcast, and, you know, well, why didn't they pull the camera back sooner? Like, well, the camera's job is to get what's happening on the field. It's like, look, nobody wants to see gruesome injuries, and that's why you'll see even broadcasts now say, we're going to show it one more time, and then we're not going to show it again. And then you've seen other instances where they said, we're not going to replay that. But their job is to show you what's happening on the field. So I think when they finally realized that he was getting his chest pumped, and it wasn't like he passed out from exhaustion or anything like that, and he was breathing and he just fainted, when his shirt was up and they're giving him CPR, I think either the producer or somebody in the truck said, hey man, let's pull this back a little bit because this is worse than we initially thought. So I don't fault them for that.
That's the hard part with soccer is they flop so often that, you know, they probably don't know when to take things seriously until that point you're talking about. Then they were like, oh, no, this is an entirely different situation.
No, it's true. It's a totally fair point. By the way, just to end the hour, somebody did agree with me on the scent of WD-40. Just want to point that out.
They're drunk then on a Monday.
Thank you. All right. Very good. Hour two next year on FSR.